Okay, good morning. Can we call Chaim? I think he's...
good morning.
Sundays, I think so. All right, so we merited to begin yesterday, Perek HaMafkid. Very exciting Perek, dealing with all the laws of watchmen and their responsibilities. So just as a word of review, there are four types of watchmen. There's a shomer chinam, a watchman who's not getting paid at all for what he's doing. He's doing a favor. Shomer sachar, a watchman who's paid for watching. A shoel, a borrower. And a socher, one who's renting. The halach is a shomer chinam, someone who's watching without getting paid, only has to reimburse the depositor if he was negligent. If it was stolen through burglary, if it was lost because the animal ran off, he doesn't have to pay. He would have to swear that he wasn't negligent. He would have to swear he doesn't have the object himself, but he does not have to pay. A shomer sachar has to pay for theft and loss. He does not have to pay for onsen, for something happening out of his control. A shoel, a borrower, has to pay even for, let's say, shvura umesa, the animal dropping dead, the animal breaking a leg, the utensil breaking. But he doesn't have to pay if it died through the activity that he borrowed it for. So let's say he borrowed an animal to ride it, and while riding it, the horse had a heart attack and died. So then he wouldn't have to pay for it because that's what he borrowed it for. A rentor, it's an argument whether he is a shomer chinam or a shomer sachar, an unpaid watchman, or a paid watchman, and we pass, and he has the status of a paid watchman. So our Mishnah taught a chiddush. The Mishnah said like this: if I gave an object to a shomer chinam, whether it be an animal or utensils to a shomer chinam, and then the animal or utensils were stolen or lost from the Shomer Chinam. So really the Shomer Chinam could have said it was stolen or lost, and he would swear that he wasn't negligent, and then he would be exempt. But he decided to be the nice guy. He said, I don't want to swear. I don't like swearing. Swearing is very uncomfortable. So instead, I'll pay for it. So as a result, I, the depositor, am very grateful. I got my money back. So if the thief is found, and now there's a payment of double, because a thief has to pay double if he's found and he didn't admit himself, that double payment goes to the shomer. It goes to the watchman. It doesn't go to me. It doesn't go to me, the depositor. It goes to the shomer. And if there would be a four or five, it would also go to the shomer. So let's start at that point. Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. We learned this yesterday. Let's review it again. 3.5 lines from the bottom. Maskefla Rami Bar Chama. So Rami Bar Chama challenged this halacha of our Mishnah. He doesn't understand this halacha. He doesn't understand what do you mean that the watchman gets the double payment because the depositor was makna to him. He's so thankful that the watchman gave him money. He says, you know what? If there's going to be a double payment, it's going to be yours. I'm giving it to you. I don't understand. How could that be? What asks Rabbi Bar Chama, v'ayinah da makna davar shlo bala olam, a person can't create an acquisition on something that doesn't yet exist. The double payment doesn't exist yet. It doesn't exist. So how could I, the depositor, give it to you, the watchman, because you paid me? I feel Rabbi Meir da makna davar shlo bala olam. Even according to Rabbi Meir, who says that a person can give away things that don't yet exist. You can pay me for this year's crop, even though the crop hasn't yet come onto the trees. Hani Mili could go and pay Ros Dekel. That would be things like the fruits of the date tree. Davidi Da'asu, every year the date tree produces fruit. This year also the date tree is going to produce fruit. It's something where you can feel secure that the dates are coming. Aval Hacha, but in regards to the double payment or the four or five payments, first of all, when I gave a deposit to you, Miyema de Mignava, who said there's going to be a theft? Who said there's going to be a theft? Secondly, Im Tim Salomit, who says there's going to be a theft that I should have been saying, oh, and if there will be a theft and you'll pay me, then you're going to get the double. First of all, who says there's going to be a theft? Im Tim Salomit, even if there would be a theft, who says that the thief is going to be found? Question number two. But even if a thief would be found, who says that the thief would pay. The thief might admit, and if he admits, he doesn't have to pay anything. So it's very much a davar shalo b'la'olam, something that's not going to come into the world. So how could it be that I gave you, the watchman, the right to this kefel payment or the 4 or 5 payment when I deposited with you and there was, you know, this deal, if you're going to pay me later, then you're going to be entitled to the kefel, you'll be entitled to the 4 or 5. What do you mean? This is a davar shalo b'la'olam. The kefel and the 4 or 5 is something which hasn't come into the world yet.
Right. He didn't come and make this night with the Shomer. The Shomer, if something happened according to the Halacha, he decided not to be Nishba.
Right.
And if Imtzehu, there is
a... No, but how would the Shomer acquire the object? The idea of Kefel is that the double payment gets paid to the owner of the object. Once the object was stolen from the house of the shomer, how is the object going to become the shomer?
So kesef, not balaolam.
But you have to give kesef. But you can't. First of all, you can't acquire metalton with kesef. Second of all,
he didn't do mashicha.
The ganav has it.
No, now the ganav has it. But
right, and that's when he pays his money.
But when the guy took the
he pays against the contingent.
When he took it originally, he had done mashicha.
Right, but then he didn't give kesef.
But then he did. Does that have to be at the exact same time?
Of course.
It has to be the same
time. Yeah, you can't acquire something later. He didn't acquire it.
Well, but he's acquiring a right.
But one second, if he's acquiring a right, that's something in the future. So Amar Rava, so Rava suggested, Nase Ka'omerlo. What's going on is like this, that when I make a deposit, it's basically that I'm saying the following. Likashatignav, if it will be stolen, Vitirtsen, if you then want to pay me, and you then pay me instead of swearing to me, Utashalmeini, if all of that happens, Hare Parasi Knuya Lachame Achshav, my cow is yours from now. That if X, Y, and Z happens, then retroactively from now, and I'm giving you the cow, the cow is yours. You're not just a watchman over it. You're the owner of it. Wow. If X, Y, and Z will happen, then retroactively from the time of the initial deposit, it wasn't a deposit, it was a sale. And when you pulled it, you acquired it. So then the double payments go to you, the watchman, because you're the owner. So Maskel Rebzer said, if that's what's going on, why did the Mishnah say that if the watchman pays, the watchman will get the double payment, he should be getting everything. Once he pays, afilu gizo sev lo doseh anami, whatever is shorn off of this sheep, whatever wool is taken off over the time that it had been in his house, should now be his, because retroactively it was his from the time it came to his house. Whatever baby was born from this sheep should have been his now, because retroactively it was his from the time it came into the house. But alam atanya, but why did we learn in a braisa? The Braisa says that if I gave my animal to Yaakov to watch, and then the animal gets stolen from Yaakov's house, and I go to Yaakov, I ask for the animal back, and Yaakov says, you know, Zev, I don't want to swear, I'm just going to give you the money, here's the money, and then we find the thief. So the Braisa says the animal, or the double payment even of the animal, or even the 4 times payment of the animal, if the animal is slaughtered, is given to Yaakov the watchman. But the children of the animal, Yaakov doesn't get to keep that. Go back to me. So 1 second. If you're going to say that retroactively from the time of the deposit, it all belonged to Yaakov because you wanted to avoid the problem of how could I sell to Yaakov something which doesn't exist. So I'm selling to him something which does exist. I'm selling to him the animal. So then if the animal was his from the time that he got it in his house, whatever shearings of wool were now his, whatever children were born were now his, what do you mean that those things go back to me, the depositor? El Amar Reb Zeris said like this. The Mishnah's law, that if the watchman pays, the watchman is now entitled to the double payment, and the watchman is entitled to the 4 times payment. And we asked, how could it be? How could the depositor sell something that doesn't exist? The depositor doesn't have the 4 times payment. How can you sell it? It's going like this. Nase ka'omer lo. Basically, it's like this. When I deposit my object with Yaakov, it's really like a conditional deposit. Maybe it'll be a deposit, but maybe this act is really an act of sale. If later there's a theft and you, Yaakov, choose to pay me for the theft, that instead of swearing, then what I'm giving you right now is actually a sale. You're acquiring it right now. But you're acquiring it to own it in case that you'll be able to enable you to get the double payment. But you're acquiring this with the exception. Chutz megizo sev ledosel. You're acquiring this animal, but you're not owning it in relation to the wool that it will grow and the children it will give birth to. So therefore, if the wool grows and the children are born, those go back to me. But you will get the animal back if we find the thief. You'll get the double. You'll even get the four times if the thief slaughtered it.
He didn't pay for the animal. So how could he own the animal?
Later he's going to pay for the animal.
Is this the arrangement
for future payments?
Yeah. If it's stolen, then he pays me.
If it's stolen, he pays me.
Right.
So he's expecting it to be stolen?
No. Yeah. Or in case. In case. In case.
This is a highly unusual situation. Normally, you might think that the animal goes back to the original owner and the produce goes to the person. Like, it's kind of like leasing out the land. Lease out the land, but the land...
No, but he paid. He paid. So he's entitled.
But it's amazing that he pays for the animal. He owns the animal, but he doesn't receive the
produce. That's right. Doesn't get the produce because that the original owner maintained. He kept that to himself.
It's a highly unusual. I mean,
so the Gemara now asks, Umay Pasca. How would you? I mean, Umay Pasca. Why would the depositor? Why would I in this scenario where I'm giving it to Yaakov? Why would I hold on to the right to get the wool, to get the child, but not the rights to get the kefel, the double payment? Umay paska. So, you know, why would you make such a distinction? So the Gemara explains, Stama de Milsa, it is normal. The normal scenario, Shvacha dasa me alma, Avanish de Makni. When it comes to increased profits that are coming from outside of the item itself, you know, a guy's going to steal. That's not the item. He stole. And he refused to admit. So he has to pay double. That's a profit coming from the outside. So something which is coming from the outside, I say, you know what? Something which might come from the outside, I'm making a deal now that this animal is going to be yours in regards to that if you're going to pay me later. That makes sense. And shvacha de migufa, but when the animal itself is going to produce wool, it's going to have sheep, that's part and parcel of the animal. It's on track to do all those things. It's not a question, maybe that'll happen. It's on track to do those things. So there, lo avadinish demakni, it's normal that a person's going to say, I'm not going to give that away. That I know is coming. What I know is coming, I'm keeping for myself. What I'm willing to give to you is I'm willing to give to you the things that maybe will be coming from outside, not from the animal itself, that you could have a right to. So that's one explanation. So again, to explain our Mishnah. The Mishnah is a very strange halacha. The halacha of the Mishnah was that if a watchman pays for what he doesn't really have to pay for, he's now entitled to the double payments and to the four-time payments of this stolen object.
Kind of like
so how could he be getting the double payment? It's not his object. The answer is his object. When does it become his object? It can't become his object, you know, once the thief has it. At that point, it's not in the hands of the seller, it's not in his hands to acquire. I mean, how could it become his? So the answer is it became his retroactively from when he first got it. When it was first deposited to him, the depositor was saying, if there will be a theft, and if you will choose, instead of swearing about the theft, to pay for the theft, then retroactively from now, it's yours in regards to getting it back and getting the double and getting the four times. But in regards to the shearings and the children, that I'm keeping for myself. Why did I keep that for myself? Because that's intrinsic to the animal. What's a gain intrinsic to the animal, I expect to keep for myself.
Really said that, or it's understood that
That he said it.
It's basically a finder's fee.
But 1 second, all the question.
It's interesting from the shomer's point of view, because now it's almost as if he's betting on finding the animal, right?
Yeah.
He may not, He may not want to swear, but he might think that they'd be able to find the animals. He says, "Oh, I can get
absolutely."
More
that's right. Right. That's right. So this is explanation number one.
Did that repayment come from the Ghani?
To the watchman.
To the watchman.
Correct.
So the original owner of this animal...
He got his principal.
Tell me how much you're going to lose.
He gets his principal. Okay, and that's the arrangement.
That's it.
And in the future, if it got stolen, this is what... And what happens if it's not stolen?
Gets the animal back. The watchman gives the animal back.
The agreement
nothing.
Is contingent.
It's a contingent agreement. If X, Y, and Z happens. Ikadamri, there was another explanation. Another explanation. Again, the law is such a strange law. Why would the watchman be entitled to double? Yeah, it's nice that he paid for the object, but how could he make a kinyan on the object once it's already in the hands of the thief? So Ikadamri, others say, Amar Rava, Rava said, Nasa komalo lukishatikno vitirtsa vitishalmeni samach liknevasa knuhi lacha. Maybe what happens is like this, that whenever I make a deposit to a Shomer Chinam, what I'm telling the Shomer Chinam is, if the object will be stolen, and you're going to be a nice guy, instead of swearing that it was stolen, you're going to pay the principal to me right away, then it's going to be yours from the moment before it was stolen. Not that it's going to be yours from the moment that I gave it to you. It's going to be yours from the moment before it was stolen. So in other words, you're going to acquire with Kinyan Chatzer, the fact that it's in your courtyard right before it was stolen. So then, it certainly answers the question about the shearings and the children, because it didn't belong to the watchman retroactively from when he got it. So of course he's not entitled to the shearings and the children. My Benai, what's the difference between these two explanations? Ikka Benai Kushin Reb Zeira, number one, who resolves the question of Reb Zeira about the shearings and the children. Inami, alternatively, I can tell you another difference between these two explanations. It's a Kaima Ba'agam. What would be if a moment before the object was stolen, the animal was no longer in the hands of the watchman, it was out in the swamps? So now if you're going to say that what's happening is that there is an implicit understanding that if it's stolen and he chooses to pay, then retroactively from the time of the original deposit it's his. So then it would be his, and he would get the double even though it was stolen from the swamp. But if you say that the way it works, the way the mechanism works, is that if he chooses to pay and not to swear in the case of theft, then it's his from the moment right before it was stolen. It had to become his through an act of kinyan, an act of acquisition. The act of acquisition that's possible is the acquisition of courtyard. But if the animal's in the swamps, there's no courtyard of his for him to acquire it, then you wouldn't have this law. And then he would not be entitled to the double.
Now, wait, what happens if they don't find the gun?
Don't buy it.
Nothing. So then he's out. The watchman is out of the money because he paid the money.
The watchman is out of the money?
Yeah, he paid it.
Okay, he can't get away with just swearing that they stole from me?
He could. He already paid. It's too late. Can't retract.
He played the story out. The watchman get his double payment. He's not going to hold on to the animal because the animal is only an expense. There's no benefit. There's no produce from this animal. So he's going to give it back to the original owner, even though he acquired it. Because he's going to feed this animal. He's not entitled to the shearing. He's not entitled to the offspring. He's not entitled to anything. It's like the rooster. It's only a cost.
If what?
That's just between the time that he gets the guard and the theft.
Right.
That's, I think...
That's it. It's just that. It's just that period.
Then the animal goes back to the owner. Because I thought he acquired actually the animal, but he doesn't acquire anything.
He acquires the animal.
He didn't acquire anything between the time he gets to guard the animal and the time it gets stolen.
Right.
That's it. Not for the
once he gets the animal back,
who's
he paid for it?
Who's
if the watchman paid for it, it's the watchman.
But that's my point. But my point is, what's the bet? There's no.
No, now he does have the rights. From now on, he would have the rights. It's only till now he would have the rights.
But Rabbi, if he pays for it, why are you calling him a watchman? He's the owner now.
Right. That's exactly the point. But
so
the question is, technically, how could he become an owner if he can't do an act of acquisition once the thief has it? So the Mishnah said, let's just go a little bit further. If he paid and he didn't want to swear, so now if the thief is found, the double payment goes to this watchman. He doesn't have to actually pay. If the watchman says, I will pay, even though he didn't pay, he is already the one who will get the double payment. 1 second, how could you say that? Tanan, we looked at our Mishnah, Shilem, if he paid for Laratzali Shava, and he didn't want to swear, he gets the double payment. Shilem in, only if he paid, Lo Shilem Lo, not if he didn't pay. Ema Seifa, no, but read the end of the Mishnah. Nishba, if he swore, Velo Ratzali Shava, and he didn't want to pay, then the double payment goes to the original owner. Time of the Lo Ratzah, implying because he didn't want to pay, would the money go to the original owner? Ha Ratzah, but if he wants to pay, Afal Pisha Lo Shilim, even though he didn't pay, he would be the one who gets the double payment. Okay, so this Mishnah is not a proof one way or the other to Rav Yochanan's Chiddush. Tanya Kavasid Rav Yochanan, but we have a Brisa, which is like Rav Yochanan's Chiddush. Rav Yochanan says it's the special law of the Mishnah, that if a watchman pays, the watchman is the one who gets the double payment. That's not even if he pays. Even if he says he'll pay is already enough. And we have a brisa like that. The brisa says, Asocher paramichaveiro, if a person rents a cow from his friend, v'nigdavan, it's stolen from him. For Amar Alo, when that renter is very nice, he says, you know what? Hareini mishalim, I'm going to pay. Any news, but I'm not going to swear that it was stolen with, you know, armed robbers, which was an ones, and I couldn't save it. Onsen or pater, I'm paying. Then biachkach nimtza ganav, and then the thief was found. Misham tashlumi kevel asocher. He has to pay double to the renter. So you see, even though it was amar halo, he said, just saying that he wants to pay is already enough to give him the rights to the double payment. Apparently not. Apparently not.
So we trust everyone who says, I will pay, and then they take their time, they schlep it, and then maybe...
Sounds like that. So Amar Rav Papa asked, so Amar Rav Papa said like this. He said a rule. Shomer chinam, if a unpaid watchman says, Kevan Shomar Pashati, once he says, yes, you know what, I was negligent, so I'm going to have to pay, Makna Lake Fela, at that point, the depositor gives to him the right to get the double, either through making it retroactively his from the time of the deposit, or making it his from the time of right before the theft. Because the depositor is thankful. He feels, listen, this guy could have tried to stiff me. He could have claimed that there was theft. He could have gotten away with it. So I'm very thankful that he's giving me the security of knowing that the money is coming. And as a result, he gives over to him rights. Shomer Sachar, a paid watchman, Kevan Shomer Nignava, once he is nice enough to say, yes, 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 it was stolen, I'm responsible. Makna Lekfela, the depositor gives to him the right to get the double. Dibay Pater Navshe Bishvuru Mesa, because again, he's thankful, he says like this to himself, he says, you know, this guy's being nice to me, he could be stiffing me and claiming that it just dropped dead, that it was an ones, it was something out of his control. He's nice. He's admitting that it was gneva. So therefore, he's going to pay me. Good. If there's going to be double, it'll go to him. Diboy patanashu shur mesa. Shoel, a borrower. Shomer, who says, Hareini mishalim, don't worry, I'm going to pay you. Lo makni lekfela. That doesn't yet give him the rights to the double. Because b'may havalei lemiftar nafshe, what could he have said? The Mesa Machmas Malacha, he could have claimed that the animal dropped dead due to the work that it was borrowed to do. Mesa Machmas Malacha Lo Shchiach, that an animal would drop dead due to the work that it was borrowed to do is very unlikely. And we don't say that the guy could have made an unlikely claim.
These other claims would have evidence of the animal still there. Shvura, Mesa, if versus
Nigma. Well, I guess, probably not.
The animal.
It was buried. It was buried. It died. It was buried. Ikadami, other version. Amar Rav Papa said that even Shoel, even a borrower, Nami, a borrower as well, came Shama Reini Mishalim, if he tells the one who lent him, I will pay you, Makni Lokfela, the depositor gives him the rights to the double. Why? Because the depositor is thankful. Dibai Pater Nashu B'Mesa Machmas Malacha, because he could have claimed it died due to its work. Amalei Rav Zvid said to Rav Papa, Hachi Amar Abaye. Abaye disagreed with you. Abaye said, Shoel ad shi yishalim. A borrower is not going to be entitled to the double just by means of saying. He He would only be entitled to the double if he actually paid. My time, a why? Ho v'chalana shalo, because the lender figures, you know, I'm doing a real big favor to the borrower. I'm letting him use the animal. He's not paying me for it. He's getting so many benefits. So you know what? I'm doing so much for him just because he says he's going to pay. That's not enough for me to give him the right to the double. Tanya kavasi Rav Zvid. We have a brisa like Rav Zvid. The brisa says, Hashoel para mechavero. If somebody borrowed a cow from his friend, then ignava and it was stolen. V'kidem hashoel v'shilem. And the borrower jumped first. And the borrower paid first. And then we found the thief. The thief pays the double payment to the borrower. Okay, so that seems very clear. It had to be that the borrower jumped and paid. But that the borrower said, it's not enough to give him the double. Now according to the first version of Rav Papa, that when a borrower says he will pay, he's still not entitled to double, this is not a disproof. But according to the second version of Rav Papa, that even when a borrower says he will pay, he's already entitled to double. Lema tevi to yufta. This should be a disproof, because here it said he had to jump and pay to be entitled to the double. Amal Rav Papa. Rav Papa said, why? Mi alim masnisin. Is this price any better than the very Mishnah? The Mishnah, katani shilim. The Mishnah says a watchman who's an unpaid watchman paid, and therefore is entitled to double. Vukimna and Rabbi Yochanan came and said, it doesn't really mean that he paid. It means that he said he would pay, and that makes him entitled to double. Ba'amar, sa'achanami ba'amar. So here too it means he says he will pay. One second, midami, hasam lo katani kidim. The Mishnah says he paid, doesn't say he jumped first. Hacha katani kidim. Here it says he jumped first. So Rav Papa said, maybe not. My kidim, what does it mean when it says that the borrower jumped? Kidim vi'amar, he said, that's why he's entitled to the double. One second, amid the katani gabe socher v'amar. But since the brice that talked about a renter said that he said, but Gabe Shoel, but in regards to a borrower, it didn't say that he said. It said that he actually jumped first. Kidem Shlamido Dafka Katani. So you see that here it's saying that a borrower is different than a renter. So Rav Papa answered, Mide Gabe Adadi Tanya. Who says that these two brisos were put next to each other? That you can contrast the language of Shoel to the language of Socher. So Shailinu Litanoi Debe Rav Chiya V'Rav Ashi. They asked those experts of the brisos, the students of Rav Chiya V'Rav Ashi. For Amin, they said, you know what, Rav Papa was wrong. Gabe Hadadi Tanayan. The two brisos were put next to each other. And therefore, if one brisa, which is right before the next brisa, talks about a borrower, a renter, and says that he said, and then it talks about a borrower and says that he jumped first and paid, that means that the borrower would only be entitled to the double if he jumped first and paid, but not if the borrower merely said that he would pay. All right, now the Gemara is going to have a whole series of questions. Pshita, it's obvious. Amar eini mishalim. If the watchman said, I'm not paying, because it wasn't, you know, I'm going to swear. Then, v'chazer v'amar eini mishalim. Then he changed his mind. He said, you know what, I will pay. So will he now be, and then we find the thief. Will he get the double? Yes, he will get the double. Because hakamar eini mishalim, because since he said he will pay, that would give him right to the double. But what about the following? El amar eini mishalim. The watchman said, I will pay. But then, this maybe addresses Rachman's question, Chazar v'Amar, he turned around and he said, you know what, I changed my mind. Eini mishalim, I'm not paying. And then we find the thief. He said, oh, I was willing to pay. No, you said you were going to pay. So what do we say now? Mi amina mahadir kahadir bet. We said, listen, he changed his mind. The original owner's all upset, because now he's not getting his money back, so he wants the rights to getting the double. Oh, Dilma, maybe the milsakai. Maybe really, once he said he was going to pay, that means he really was going to pay. He was just trying to buy time. He was trying to delay. He didn't have the cash available. He had a liquidity crunch. But he was going to pay, and therefore, he's entitled to the double. Next case.
Rabbi, it just seems very unentitled, unfair, if someone makes so much money just on a word without even investing in it. He's not even prepared to invest it. Just on his word, he's like, oh, I'll pay.
We trust him.
So much money of the double?
We trust him. We trust people's words. Word is one's bond. It matters.
That's very unfair, though, because we shouldn't really trust someone until they've proven themselves to be a good credit.
Why? The courts will...
You
can go to the bank. You can go to the court. The court will force him to pay.
But if he doesn't have money, how can they force him?
Okay, if he has money.
Become Evan.
Amar, if he said, Arani Mishali, the watchman said, you know what, I'm going to pay. But then, Umais, then the watchman died. His kids said, we're not paying. And then the thief was found. My, what do we say? Do we say that the kids, you know, retracted the offer of payment? Maybe they also really were intending to pay. They were just trying to buy time, but they really were going to pay, and therefore they were entitled to the double payment. Shomu banu. My, what happens if, another question, what happens if it was stolen from the father? He didn't get a chance to say anything. His children paid for it. And now we find the thief. Matzi Amri Luhu, can the depositor say, Kiaknoi Kfela, when we have this special law of our Mishnah that I give to your father the rights to the double if he's going to pay me? It's like this, Lavuchon Davili Naichin Avshoi. Your father who's helped me out many times in his life, so then I do this favor. I say, you know what, you have the right to the double payment because you did this nice thing to me. You gave me the principal. But you didn't do me many favors. So you just gave me the principal, which is, you offered to give me the principal. You gave me the principal in this case. You gave me the principal. It's nice. But I'm not giving you the double. Maybe there's no difference. Anytime somebody's going to get the principal, he's so thankful that he has already agreed to give the rights to the double to the person who gave him the principal. Another question. What happens if the depositor died and the object was stolen? Vishilem and the watchman paid Labanim to the children of the depositor. My, what's the halacha? Matsu Amrule, can the children say to him, listen, Ki akni lach avuna kfeila, when our father was agreeing to give you the double, that would have been based on gratitude after Lenaicha Nafshai, because you helped him out many times. Avalanad, but us, Lididan, you haven't helped us out many times. Lo, we're not giving you the rights to the double, even though you paid us the principal. Odumalosho, maybe there's no difference. Anytime somebody's getting the principal, even if it's the kids getting the principal, they're giving the rights to the double to the one who gave them the principal. Another question. What happens if both the depositor and the watchman died? Shilmu Abanim and the children of the watchman paid Labanim to the children of the depositor. Would we say that the children of the watchman are entitled to the double? Another question. What happens if Shile Mechza, the watchman only paid half of the value of the principal, and now we found the thief? Does he get double on half? My, what's the halacha? Or another question, what happens if Shal Shtei Paros, the watchman borrowed two cows, the borrower borrowed two cows, and they were stolen. Vishileim Achas Mehen, he paid for one of them. My, is he entitled to double of that one? Now that we find the thief, what happens if Shal Mina Shutfin, a watchman, a borrower borrowed from two partners, Vishileim Lechemen, he paid to one of them half of the value, and there was a thief, and now the thief is caught. My, is he entitled to double on that half? Or the other case, Shutfin Shishalu, if partners borrow the cow, Vishileim Lechemen, and one of them pays half of the value of the cow that was stolen, and now we find the thief. My, does that one who did his whole part, is he entitled to double on his part? Another question, Shalmina Isha. Let's say a person borrows from a married woman a cow, which is Nichse Malog. So she's entitled to the principal. The profits of the cow go to her husband. Somebody borrowed this cow from her, and then it was stolen. And instead of making a false claim, he gets up, Vishileim Labala, and he paid to her husband. My, what do we say? Do we say since the principal wasn't the husband's, it's not considered that he paid to the depositor, so he's not entitled to the double? Or maybe since the husband is in charge of the money, in charge of the cows, and he gets the profits from the cows, it is considered that he paid back the principal, and he's entitled to the double. Or another question, Isha Shishala. Let's say a woman borrows a cow for her property, which is Nichse Malog, and the Shilem, and it gets stolen, the Shilem Bala, and her husband paid for it. And now we find the thief. So do we say, since the husband had rights in this land to the fruits that come out of the land, so basically it's his land, and so when she borrowed it for this land, it's really like she borrowed it for him. So he's the borrower, and since the borrower paid, the borrower is entitled to the double. Or maybe we say, no, it's not his land, it's her land. He's not really the borrower, she's the borrower. If some other guy comes and gives the depositor the principal, he's not entitled to the double. So take all of these questions, we don't know the answer to them. Rav Huna said, even though the Mishnah says that when the watchman pays, he's now going to be entitled to getting the double. And why did he pay? Because he didn't want to swear. All right? We're still going to make him swear. We still make him swear that he doesn't have it himself. My time of Chashina, we're worried. But maybe he likes this object and he wants to keep it and he wants to pay for it. Maysville, I'll challenge you. How could you say that we make him swear? We learned. We know that there's something called Shvuas Moda B'Miktas. If a person admits to part of the claim against him, he needs to swear Minat Torah. So we learned Tamalves Chaver Lamashkon. Reuven lends money to Shimon, and Shimon gives Reuven a collateral. Favra Mashkon. And now Reuven lost the collateral. Amar Lo. So Reuven, the lender, says to the borrower, Sela Hilvi Sichalav, I lent you 4 dinar. The shekel hayashaven, you gave me a collateral worth 2 dinar. I lost that collateral. So you still owe me 2 dinar. Hello, Omer, but the borrower says, Loki, that's not true. Sela hil visani, I love you, lent me 4 dinarim. And sela hayashava, the collateral was worth 4 dinarim. You lost the collateral, I don't owe you anything. What happens though? So Potter, so now the borrower doesn't have to swear because he's claiming he doesn't owe anything. It's not moda b'miktas. He's not admitted to part of the claim. But if the lender says, I lent you 4 dinarim, and shekel hayashava, and this collateral was worth 2 dinarim, and you owe me now 2 dinarim, because I lost the 2 dinarim that you had given me as collateral. Valo omer, but the borrower says, Loki, it's not true. Elasel uvisani olav, it's true, you lent me 4 dinarim, but shlosha dinarim hayashava, but the collateral was worth 3 dinarim. I only owe you 1 dinar. So he has to pay that 1 dinar, and chayav, he has to swear about the rest, because that's moda b'miktas. He's admitting to part of the claim against him. What happens if the lender tells the borrower tells the lender, Sel il visani, I love you, lent me 4 dinarim, and shnayim ayas shave, but the collateral was worth 8 dinars. You lost the collateral, you owe me 4 dinar. Hello, Omer, whereas the lender says, lo kila sel il visicha, love, I lent you 4 dinarim, sel ayas shave, and the collateral was worth 4 dinar. I lost it, so I don't owe you anything. So Potter, then the lender doesn't have to swear. But if the claim was, Sel il visani, I love you, lent me 4 dinarim for this collateral, and shnayim hayashaven, when I gave you the collateral, it was worth 2 selas, it was worth 8 dinar. Valo omer, and the lender says, lo ki el sel il visani, I love, I lent you 4 dinar, and chamesh dinar hayashaven, the collateral was only worth 5 dinar, I lost the collateral, I owe you 1 dinar, I don't owe you 4 dinar. So that, the halach would be that there should be an oath. So, mi nishba, who swears how much the collateral, in fact, was worth? Mi shapikadon etzlo, the lender swears, the one who has the collateral. Why? Because maybe the borrower is going to swear that, in fact, it was worth 2 slayim. And then, viyotzi aloha sapikadon. And then the lender is going to produce the collateral and say, you see, it was only worth 5. And he's going to end up ruining that guy's credibility. So to try to save people from losing their credibility, we make the lender swear. So now the Gemara asks, ahai, what's the case that we say that we're worried and we're going to make the lender swear? Ilei ma'aseh, if we're talking about this last case, typically the shvuah gabi milvi, of course the lender has to swear. Because he's the one who's claiming he only owes 1. The other guy is claiming he owes 4. So he has to swear. Hakamodu b'miktasatani, he's admitting to part of the claim. Elamar Shmuel, so Shmuel explained Aresha. It's referring to the first case. So my Aresha, what first case? So what must it mean? Asefa de Aresha, the second of the first two cases. Namely, the lender says, Sela hil visicha alav shekel hayashave. I lent you 4 dinars and the collateral that I lost was worth 2 dinar. So you still owe me 2 dinar. Valo Omer, the borrower says, Lo ki no, elasel hil visani alav. You lent me 4 dinar for it. Shlosh dinar mayashave. It was worth 3 dinar. I only owe you 1 dinar. So chayav shvua. So really, the borrower is the one who should be swearing, because he's admitting to part, but he's denying the rest. And the rabbis are saying, you know what, we're going to make the lender swear, and he will collect. Right? Hello, because we're worried that maybe the borrower will swear, and then the lender is going to ruin his credibility forever by producing the object that he has of what the collateral is. Now, one second. Here's the question. Now, if you're going to say that Rav Huna is right, that a person who's watching something has to swear that it's not in his home anymore, once the lender has already sworn that he doesn't have the collateral, because he has to swear he doesn't have the collateral, why are we worried that he might be able to produce it? He already swore that he doesn't have it. There should be no worry that he might be able to produce it and ruin the credibility of the borrower.